Welcome to Sports Hour. Listening to WNYO Sports Hour with your hosts, Aaron Valentino and Brandon Lapp.
It's a victory Monday in the state of New York. Hello, everybody. I'm Aaron Valentino, and welcome to the Monday edition of Sports Hour. No Brandon Lapp, because everybody seems to be getting sick, left, right, center, falling down, falling over. Everybody seems to be getting some sort of the Oswego plague, and Brandon Lapp once again out today. With that, so joining me today on the show, it takes two people to replace as big a personality as Brandon Ladd. It, of course, is Brian Rudman and Michael Gross. How are you guys doing today?
Fantastic. Forgot what winning felt like in New York, man.
Oh, yeah. It's been a while, hasn't it? Gross, how are you?
I'm good. I'm very lucky, knock on wood, to have not gotten said plague yet. And yeah. So I felt good. I've been taking my vitamin C.
Vitamin C is a key, man.
Our GM, Abby Conley, is big on the vitamin C.
Like, as she should be.
Absolutely. Big on the vitamin C bandwagon.
Absolutely adamant. Now, you know, me, I'm big on the, you know, drink all the sugary drinks and candy, doesn't seem to be working very well.
That's not curing it?
No, it's not.
Sugar isn't killing
you? I don't know why it isn't. Yeah. You know, I haven't figured it out yet, but I'm sure eventually it'll
work. Well, I figured out that the no sleep and no eating thing on days when we have sports, that certainly doesn't help.
No, not so eating. The eating thing this year has been a thing where, like, there's so many times where I walk into our house and me, Brian, and Ladd are all there and go, oh, I haven't eaten since 10 a.m. today.
or when Brian and I are both, you know, calling games or doing stuff, producing games, and it's 5:15 and we look at each other and we're like, have you eaten anything today?
Have you had any food today?
No, we neither. Okay. Fantastic.
Great.
It's gotten to the point where I have friends texting me, like, have you eaten anything today?
Oh, me too.
Do you need food?
That's great, you guys have those support systems like that. Yeah. That's actually so
we
funny.
Can be your support system.
Yeah, text me.
We'll text you. Right. We won't be able to get you any food.
We should use that group chat that Ladd created to remind each other to eat.
Let's call the group chat, have you eaten anything today?
Yeah, we've been trying to think of a name for that group chat for a while, and we haven't, like, named yet. I think that's the name, have you eaten anything today?
Yeah. Well, is Ladd sort of the same way when it comes to the Gonian on Thursdays?
Oh, yeah. No, okay. He doesn't
I'm
eat.
Just making sure.
And then when he does eat, it's like chips and queso at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, he comes home,
I'm like, Ladd,
queso.
I'm making pasta. Do you want some? And he's like, no, I got it.
Although I will say this, I went home, like, last weekend, mm-hmm. And I brought back an air fryer, and within like Ladd already used the air fryer. But the first thing I told him was, Ladd, you actually have to clean this thing because it will not go well if you don't.
Yeah.
Well, for me, a meal is like a peanut butter and jelly and an apple. Like, that's on those days when we do sports, that's a meal.
No, it is. I think a sandwich is a meal.
Because you don't, yeah, but it's peanut butter and jelly. It is protein, like, technically, you know, peanut butter is protein. There's just not enough protein.
There's not enough,
you know?
Substance.
There's not enough. Either.
No, but I think a sandwich.
Good old tuna fish sandwich. Aaron loves it when I make tuna fish sandwiches.
I hate tuna fish. Like,
I hate it so much.
Listen. I make tuna fish. You set off the fire alarm by cooking on high all the time.
I haven't set off the fire alarm in a while. The last, like, three times it was Q and Ladd.
That's true. Q and Ladd have been not as great.
Besides the point. All right, it is a victory Monday here in New York. All three New York football teams won. The Yankees were sent to the postseason. In fact, even the Nets won in their preseason game. The Mets were the only New York team that didn't win yesterday's game. They finish out their 162 season. They are not going to the playoffs. And we just found out a couple minutes before, according to Joel Sherman, the Mets are not picking up the option on Luis Rojas. This doesn't seem like a surprise. Really quick thoughts on that from the two of you.
No, not a surprise at all. I mean, disappointing season. Go and pick up your middle infield. Made it one of the best middle infields in Major League Baseball. And you still miss out on the playoffs by a good chunk. No, it wasn't. It wasn't a game.
And they rolled over in September.
Exactly.
Yeah, they were in it too. Like Aaron, you and I were having this discussion. Regardless of injuries, they were in a position where they could have done something, and they just rolled. Like after that Yankees series, after that Sunday nighter, you thought like, all right, they're in this. They picked up a big win. And then it was just done.
Yeah. No, they picked up that Sunday night win against the Yankees. Francisco Lindor hit three home runs. And then they played the godforsaken Cardinals.
Yeah.
Who
well, the once, Cardinals were
they
insane.
They ended up winning like 17 straight games.
Yeah.
So I don't think the Mets would have made the playoffs anyway. But, you know, they could have been in it. Like,
well, yeah, but if the Mets around. At least had won some games. Like, the Cardinals were probably going to make it anyway. But the Mets didn't even put up a fight.
No, they didn't. Not at the end, they didn't.
Well, the Cardinals this year, they're going to be a one and out because they got to play the
Dodgers.
They were like the A's, a one-way ticket to the wild card.
Yeah, they're not winning that game, no doubt about it. All right, let's get to the teams that actually did win. Yankees, it was scary for a while. They had one hit, I think, through seven innings and maybe even through nine innings. I had to write an essay, so I didn't, you know, I was keeping track of it, and I knew they had one hit through like eight innings. They end up winning 1-0 on a walk-off hit by Aaron Judge, and Mike, that punched their ticket to the postseason. They'll be heading to Boston tonight to take on the Red Sox tomorrow at 8 o'clock over on ESPN.
So it was the ninth inning, and who was it on third there? Tyler Wade, right?
Yep.
And Judge comes up, and they bring in Andrew Kitteridge. You would think, all right, well, there's two on, one out. Maybe the smart thing to do is walk Judge, have the double play ball. Because if you don't get the double play, the game's over. But if you get the double play, then it's, you know, you go into extra innings. But Kitteridge comes in, and in my opinion, you should have walked him. Because you have two of the exact same batters following him. Home run, strikeout guys in Giancarlo Stanton and Joey Gallo. If you walk Aaron Judge, you don't have to face him. Granted, Stanton hasn't been as hot, but he's still a good hitter. So I guess that may be his reason. But on the play where Judge hit it up the middle, it hit off of Kitteridge's glove. If it didn't hit his glove, the Rays would have had zero chance, let alone even a little bit. And it was a good throw, too, from I think it was Phillips who made that throw. But either way, all in all, that's a victory. Right?
No, victory's a victory, and they're going to the postseason. Baby. Yeah. No, 100%. So the Yankees, they're going to be going to postseason. They did line up Garrett Cole to pitch on Tuesday, which if you're the Boston Red Sox, that's got to be a scary thought for you on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. So we'll get into that more a little bit later. But the Yankees, they are going to postseason. And the real reason it's a victory Monday, all three New York football teams won. The Bills stomped the Texans 40-0. God, it's like Alabama playing like Appalachian State University. I mean, it's just
try Alabama playing anyone in the SEC other than Georgia.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's unbelievable. The Giants get a big win against Michael Gross's Saints. A great day for Daniel Jones, over 400 yards in passing for him. And a coming out party for Kenny Galladay as well. 119 receiving yards for him. They win in an overtime thriller. And the Jets, they win in an overtime thriller as well. Their first win of the year, 27-24. So a great Sunday afternoon for all New York football teams. And it feels good. It honestly feels good to see all three of these teams win.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Bills are the Bills. They're the best team in the AFC East. They're going to roll over some people. They're looking like they might be the best team in the AFC alone right now. But, I mean, for the Jets and Giants, they looked like they wanted to play football this week.
Yeah.
And they got it done.
They haven't looked like they've wanted to play football all
year. Yeah, the Jets haven't looked like they wanted to be on that field all year. Like, the Jets have been just sad to watch. They haven't looked
They've been sad to watch for 2 years.
Yeah, and then, like, this felt like the Cowboys game from 2 years ago where they showed up, they wanted to win, and they did it against the team that should have beaten them.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believed that Zach Wilson looked a lot more calm, looked a lot more composed.
He looked, yeah. He
better
looked
stature
way better
today out on the field.
Oh, absolutely. Especially yesterday. On that play where
By
he fumbled
the
snap.
I've gotten three texts in the last minute saying Rojas is out. Everyone's freaking out.
I don't know why they're freaking out. It was coming anyway.
Yeah,
but Zach Wilson and the Jets, they looked better. They felt better. And I felt for the both of you because that's the type of team that you saw in the beginning of this season.
Yeah, that's we're going to get into what I was saying on the cap. But literally, like, I'm at the point in my life in a Jets fan where, like, when somebody makes a good play, I'm not, like, complimenting the player on it. I'm like, that's a great route, LaFleur. Like, such a great job.
That's a great play call, LaFleur.
So many
times.
So many times. Because The first three games, LaFleur's play calling has been so bad. And then I watched Adam Gase call plays for 16 games last year. So I haven't seen good play calling since 2019. And I didn't even see that good of play calling because it was still Adam Gase there. So, like, I was just amazed that we were running, like, you know, actual routes and, like, running, like, actual good plays.
They did it.
It blew my mind.
They threw an end around in there.
Yeah.
They were using the running backs were being used in the flat.
They ran a trick play with Braxton Berrios, and I was like, oh, my God. I was like, well, I don't think I've seen that since Mark Sanchez was quarterback.
College football.
It was unbelievable. Like, I couldn't – my mind was blown.
They looked like they were 3-0.
Yeah, they did.
During
they
that
good.
Game.
They looked very good.
They were the defense, better team. They looked like the better team yesterday.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into a deeper discussion about the New York Yankees plus victory Monday for all three New York football teams. And then Monday night, picks of the week. No Peyton and Eli. It's very sad, but we'll move on with our day. We'll be right back. After this, don't go anywhere. You're listening to the award-winning WNYO Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network.
I had a dream. I got everything.
Sports Hour. On a Monday, rainy, gloomy afternoon, that's part of the reason I'm playing this song. Who doesn't love Billie Eilish?
I don't know if you can answer that question, because I don't know if there's anybody that doesn't love Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish is the greatest. Ocean Eyes is an incredible song. Bad Guy's good, but Ocean Eyes is my favorite of hers. She's great.
I concur.
She makes great stuff. Oh, yeah. Brian, don't sound like you're a fan.
I didn't say anything.
I know. That's why I said it doesn't sound like you're.
She's very talented. It's not my style of music, but she's very talented.
But in my opinion, impartial is not a fan, you know?
I'm not a fan, but I'm not saying there's anything wrong with her. Like, I don't have a problem with her.
No, you not being a fan is the thing that's wrong with you.
Gross. Okay, I don't know if you know this, but Brian is actually a huge Taylor Swift fan.
I did know that. Like, I knew it. I knew it 100%.
Like, we were going through a playlist and we were adding some Taylor Swift songs. And, like, I forget what song we thought of. And I was like, what album is that song on so I can find it? And he immediately knew the album name, like, without question.
It
like
was something off of Red, I think.
Yeah, it was something off of
Red. See, I'm a big Rascal Flatts fan.
I like Rascal Flatts. They're pretty good.
I was, like, super impressed that he knew that. And, like, I wouldn't expect it from him.
Well, you're not a big country guy.
No, I'm not.
I'm a big country guy, so I go back to, like, her early stuff.
I do, like, Sugarland. You know Sugarland at all?
I know who they are, yeah.
Oh, yeah, but you don't know Sugarland, then. If you know who they are, I mean, you know who they are, but normally people who like Sugarland, they're like, oh, you like Sugarland, too? It's like one of those things, you know?
I've heard
a couple of their songs.
He's heard of them. For sure.
Antebellum.
Lady A.
The Taylor Swift thing was just funny to me because he doesn't normally not a Dua Lipa fan, play Dua Lipa all the time.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Olivia Rodrigo.
I think she has some good songs.
Well, you know, but the Taylor Swift thing was funny.
If you had to pick between Olivia Rodrigo and Dua Lipa, who would you pick?
Me?
Yes, you.
That's a good question. I don't really know. They each have like two or three songs that I like, and then I don't really listen to them other than that. The other thing is, in our apartment, Olivia Rodrigo is so overplayed.
No, I just play Good For You all the time. Also Traitor comes on all the time for
that,
reasons.
Yep.
And Brutal is another one that's played often. And then Good For You is just such a bop that like you can't deny it. Can't deny it at all. All right, the Yankees, they made the postseason on a walk-off single from Aaron Judge on Sunday, yesterday. And the Red Sox, they made the postseason. They came back from 5-1 down to beat the Washington Nationals to clinch their ticket into the postseason. The teams will meet at Fenway Park in Beantown on Tuesday at 8 o'clock over on ESPN. But before we get to the game, Aaron Judge sends them to the postseason. They go 92-70 on the year. Gross, I got a question for you. Yankees made the playoffs. Wild card game, super exciting. I know Yankee fans are excited to be there. If I was a Yankee fan, I would also be excited to be in the postseason, and I would be ecstatic for Tuesday night. But at 92-70, and in a year where the Rays traded away Blake Snell, got rid of a couple other pieces as well, they ended up winning. They went over 100 games, right?
The Rays?
Yeah.
No, I think they're 98. 99, maybe?
No, I'll confirm that right now. But
Would you say this is a disappointing year for Yankees? The Yankees?
No, they're
the
right at 100, actually.
Is it right at 100?
Yeah, right at 100.
Okay. Right at 100.
In all honesty, as a whole, yes. But because of the fact that they didn't win the division. Every year you don't win the division, it's a disappointment. Then that's just how Yankees fans are bred. Every year you don't win the World Series,
yeah, disappointment. Yeah, but this team should win the division.
Which is why
they're,
I say
they're
yes.
They're the most talented team on paper.
Yes, which is why I say yes, it's a disappointment. But then you also have to look at some other factors, right? We all knew the Rays were still going to be a good baseball franchise. Yep. We all knew they were still going to be a good team coming into this year. They're the defending American League champions. And just because you lose one piece in Blake Snell doesn't mean that you don't have 10 other pieces in the minor leagues in that system, yeah. Which is the best pitching system in the league.
They hang their hat on being deep at every position. Just have guys who can plug and play. And also having the top prospect in baseball come up and be your starting shortstop and play phenomenally is also a bonus.
And having him go back-to-back with Nelson Cruz.
Nelson Cruz is big for them.
And so I'll say this, right? Beginning of the season, a bit rough. More than a bit rough. But in the last couple months, since the All-Star break, not many injuries, right? There was to Luke Voit. You know, Tyone, Garrett Cole had missed one start. But other than that, Aaron Judge, fairly healthy. Stanton, I'd say, fairly healthy.
And been ripping the cover off the ball last month.
And when you put him in the outfield, right?
He's played well.
So as a season, you're only in the wild card. You're not even hosting it. But to get there, right, it's always a positive to get in the postseason. As a whole, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed. Would I have liked to host the wild card game? Would I have liked to not be in the wild card game and win the division, have the best record? Yeah, but beggars can't be choosers. What we have right now is where we're at. And I personally am just excited for Tuesday. I can look at the season afterward and say, sure, we could have done this better, could have done that worse, whatever it is. But at the same time, you know, the Yankee pitching, not super consistent this year. And so to be here in this position with the great Blue Jays team, the hot Mariners team, the Athletics who always stick around in the wild card race, I'd call it a semi-win. But still,
I think anytime you make the postseason, it is a success. But here's the deal. We've been making excuses for the New York Yankees for a long time. You know, 2017, the Astros cheated. In 2018, the Red Sox, you know, sort of cheated, but we're also one of the greatest teams ever.
Yeah.
2019, the Astros are arguably cheating again, and I'm a believer that they were personally, and as a Mets fan, I'm even saying that.
I agree.
In 2020, you had the COVID year. You didn't get a chance to play at home. A lot of things weren't right. There should be no excuse why the Yankees shouldn't win the World Series this year.
I agree.
If they don't make the World Series, can Aaron Boone, can him? Throw him out. He's done. I've had it with Aaron Boone and his horrible managing and not leading this Yankees team to a World Series. I'm done. Can Aaron Boone at the end of the season if they don't make the World Series, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say you're wrong. I thought, I understand Girardi.
He should have been fired a while ago, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, I never really thought that they should have gotten rid of Girardi, and I thought Boone hasn't been that good of a manager ever since. You look at this roster, and yes, this turned out to be the best division in baseball, I think.
Oh, yeah,
The most competitive division in baseball. But, I mean, regardless, at the end of the day, you look at where this division was at the start of the year, and you're saying, all right, the Yankees should be in a dogfight with the Rays for the top spot in the division. The last half of September, the Rays took control of the division, and the Yankees had to fight for their lives to get to this spot. The Yankees had to go into Fenway and sweep a series just to get into the wild card game, which is also a series they didn't face Chris Sale in.
I'm just saying. You're right.
Like, they had to go into Fenway and sweep series just to get there. And yeah, this is a disappointing year. Because, like, at the end of the day, if you're a Yankees fan, you can feel a little bit better looking at the second half of the season, seeing how you bounce back, seeing how Judge and Stanton have stayed healthy, seeing that you're in this game, and especially if they win on Tuesday. But if the Yankees don't win on Tuesday, and then a week later you sit back and look at the season and say, we played horribly in April, we were the streakiest team in baseball, you got to say, we need a more consistent presence in the dugout.
The issue, in my opinion, is that Brian Cashman in the front office, all they want is a puppet. Joe Girardi wasn't that puppet. He made decisions they didn't like, which is why they got rid of him, which is why they butt heads, and which is why he's no longer the manager of the New York Yankees. Aaron Boone does whatever Brian Cashman, Hal Steinbrenner, and the rest of the front office wants. They want him to just be a puppet, and that's what he is. So what do you think is going to happen next? They're going to bring in another puppet.
But I don't know. I think another puppet would make some better decisions than Aaron Boone.
Well, I also think an issue that a lot of people are overlooking is Marcus Thames, the hitting coach. He's been better, but even then, just not good enough. I think Matt Blake had a great season.
I've said it for a while now. I think as a whole, the Yankees need to do a better job of not relying on the long ball.
Oh, so much. That's why when DJ LeMahieu hit 364.
Oh, that was huge.
I loved it. I
think the Yankees need a little bit more balance, but listen, home runs are good. Everything's launch angle. If you can hit home runs, you're going to win a lot of baseball games. Yes, but I'll say this.
As much as you want to make the postseason, you don't win in October without getting on base.
Oh yeah,
that's why you're facing every team's top four pitchers, game in game out.
That's not. I don't know. It's tough for me because that's not what you know. WRC plus and OPS plus.
But there's a difference between regular season
and what they say.
There's a difference between hitting a ball off of the fifth starter in the rotation and the seventh guy out of the bullpen in July.
Yeah.
Than hitting off of Nate Eovaldi and then followed by Adam Ottavino and Garrett Whitlock in Boston in October.
And in my opinion, batting average and on base percentage are a hell of a lot more important than WRC plus and all that other stuff. Because if you can't get on base, doesn't matter.
Well, on base percentage, yes. That's still a question.
You win games by getting people on base and getting them in, because at the end of the day, you're more likely to hit a single than you are a home run.
Well, yes, but if the goal, you don't want to buy wins, you want to buy runs, and scoring runs becomes easier. One, if you can get on base, but two, if you can hit a home run.
Listen, you're right, but I'm saying that's why you need balance in the lineup. You need guys who can go long to do that, but when that's the only thing you do and you're relying on solo shot after solo shot after solo shot, it becomes difficult to win.
Solo home runs don't win you games, right?
Exactly.
Singles win you games. Base hits when you know you have two runners in scoring position or a runner in scoring position or even a guy on base wins you games. Home runs don't exactly always win you games, because when you string base hits together, you get 4, 5, 6 in an inning. When you can't string home runs together.
Look at the Yankees game and the Red Sox game yesterday. Yeah, Devers hit two home runs, but the biggest hit in the Red Sox game was Verdugo driving in two on a double. And the Yankees didn't score a run off of the Yankees scored a run by playing small ball.
Mm-hmm. It'll be Gerrit Cole and Nate Eovaldi in Fenway Park. No Chris Sale for the Red Sox. Just didn't work out that way. It works out for the Yankees. This is why, listen, they didn't sign Gerrit Cole to pitch in the regular season to the Orioles. They didn't sign him to win a Cy Young. They signed him to pitch in the postseason. And this is exactly what he's built for. And he needs to go in and he needs to absolutely dominate on Tuesday at 8 o'clock.
He hasn't been the same guy in the last month. I can't be the only person to tell you that, because that is a true statement.
It hasn't been like, it used to be like, oh, Gerrit Cole's pitch today. Oh, it's like a sigh of relief.
Must watch. And it's like must watch television.
It hasn't been that for the past couple weeks.
But he will figure something
out.
He's
got to earn his paycheck. Tuesday, he's got to earn his paycheck. This is it. You're absolutely right.
This is the moment.
Listen, he's here for a long time, but at the end of the day, this may be the
one moment.
This may be one of the single biggest games he pitches in a Yankee uniform. He's got a lot of time left, but you're going up to Fenway Park to play the Red Sox in a one-game playoff. This is by far the biggest game he's pitched in a Yankee uniform yet. It may be for his whole career as a Yankee.
And one more thing. Who cares that the Yankees just swept the last two series against the Red Sox?
None of it matters if you don't win tomorrow.
No. When you get to October. It doesn't mean a damn thing.
No, what you do in July, what you do in August, doesn't matter.
Sometimes what you do in September, once you get to October, that's all off the table.
No. Especially because I promise you, the Red Sox are feeling good after sweeping the Nationals the way that they did yesterday.
Exactly.
The Red Sox are feeling good going into this game.
Tomorrow, 8 o'clock, ESPN, Alex Rodriguez and Matt Vasgersian on the call. I'm sorry. I had a little bit of phlegm in my throat. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the victory Monday for all three New York teams. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 89, the Laker Radio Network. I paid my dues. Time after time, I've done.
my sentence, but committed no crime. And bad mistakes, I've made a few. I've had my shouts and kicks in my face, but I've come through. And I need to go on, 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 on. We are the champions, my friends.
Sports Hour, Monday. Aaron Valentino, Michael Gross, Brian Rudman, two of them filling in for Brandon Lagg because he's out sick. I'm playing this song because I think you know why. All three New York football teams won a game for the first time since 2019. It was the first time that the Yankees, Giants, and Jets all won on the same day since like 2012 or something like that.
I just had this post.
Yeah, it was when like
it was when Sanchez.
Well,
and
no,
Eli,
I think
it,
no, it was the year that
Or it might have been 2009.
Yeah, because I think it was the year that Sanchez took the – it was the year the Yankees won the World Series. Sanchez took the Jets to the AFC Championship game, and the Giants started 5-0.
Yeah, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
All three New York football teams won, the Bills 40-0, the Giants 27-21, and the Jets 27-24. I got to be honest, we're going to get the Bills out of the way right away.
Yeah.
Just because, what do you want me to say? They won 40-0 against David Mills and company. I mean, Mitchell Trubisky came in, scored a touchdown. Josh Allen, like, I don't even know if the stats are correct. He threw for like 270 yards or something like that. He didn't need to do much in this one. Just an absolute stomping, Brian, by the Bills.
The Texans really just
they're
aren't
so bad.
There.
They're
terrible.
A college team.
They look like, what was it, the 17 Browns that were just terrible. Yeah. They look like they don't belong on an NFL field.
Yeah, Josh Allen, 20 for 29, 248 yards, two touchdowns. Mitch Trubisky, 1 for 1 with 8 yards.
Like, the Bills were turning the ball over and giving the Texans chances in the beginning, but, like, Aaron, it was on our second TV that we were watching. Like, we were watching the Jets. We had the Jets, Giants, and Bills all on at once.
Yeah.
And it was like, me and you were locked in on the Jets game for the most part.
And the Cowboys
and the
game.
And the Cowboys game as well. So we were watching multiple games, and I feel like every time the Texans had the ball and I would look over at the Texans-Bills game,
it right back.
Mills threw an interception.
Mills, 11 for 21, 87 yards, four interceptions. Yeah, the Bills just
terrible.
Pure domination yesterday, Gross.
I mean, Dawson Knox had a great day. Dawson Knox, tight end for the Buffalo Bills. Two touchdowns, 5 for 8 on receptions, only 37 yards. But those two touchdowns, that's still got to be in the record books for one of his best days, and it probably will be moving forward. Not many tight ends get two touchdowns in a game. He played well. The Bills' defense got me 22 fantasy points.
That's
yes.
Incredible.
No, 23 fantasy points. Four That's interceptions, insane. Three sacks, a fumble recovery, and 0 points allowed. That's got to be the highest this year by any team.
Yeah. No, it's...
Yeah, I thought the Browns did me a favor last week when they sacked Justin Fields 7 times.
Yeah, just pure domination for the Bills. Josh Allen, we still... I don't know. It kind of seems like he's off a little bit, but at the same time, the Bills keep winning like 40-0 or 35-2 or something like that. So
when your defense gives up no points, you don't have to do much of the quarterback.
Yeah, they're just going to keep on rolling. Let's get to the New York Giants. Now, I called the Giants out last week. I said, this is getting ridiculous. Why can the Giants not win football games? They keep telling me the offensive line is better. They're telling me the defense is top 10 in the NFL. They're telling me the receivers and the running backs are better. Everything is supposed to be better. And Joe Judge is supposed to be this legit coach. Why can't they win a football game? And you know what, boys? They did it. And not only did they win a football game, they beat a playoff team as well.
Listen, the Saints are a very good football team. Without Drew Brees, they're definitely down a notch, but that shouldn't take away anything from what Daniel Jones did this weekend.
No,
he led the Giants down, marching in, right, down in New Orleans in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and they went ahead and they beat the Saints. They did in every aspect, really, of the football game. All right, Saquon Barkley had a great day running the ball. Daniel Jones had a great day at quarterback. It was... Obviously, me as a Saints fan, I don't want that to happen. But I feel good for Giants fans. I'm glad that we were kind enough to give them their first win. No, I'm
You
kidding.
Did them a favor.
I'm
you took
kidding.
Mercy.
They earned it. They earned each and every second of that win.
Daniel Jones, 28 for 40, 402 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception. Saquon Barkley, not an incredible day rushing, 13 carries for 52 yards, and the game-winning touchdown, of course, which is always appreciated.
He had a big touchdown out of the receiving out of the backfield, though.
Yes, he had a big receiving touchdown as well. He actually had a better day as a receiver, 5 receptions, 74 yards, 14.8 yards per reception. But it was all Daniel Jones. It was the Danny Dimes show, 402 yards for this man, Brian. And the Giants, they looked like the team everybody's been telling me they're supposed to look like.
Yeah, they looked like the team we kind of expected them to be coming into this year with a healthy Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones, another year older, and the defense coming back and looking legit. And, you know, you watched that game and you saw Danny Dimes slinging the ball all over the field. Barkley, well, he didn't, like you said, he didn't have a great day on the ground, but he was still dynamic, had over 100 all-purpose yards and got in the end zone twice, including the game-winning score. You watch the defense making big stops on third and fourth down, getting the job done. They looked like not only did they look like a good football team, they looked like a complete football team, which is something that we haven't seen from them in a while.
Can we just talk about the fact that they finished the game?
Yeah, no, they did.
They finished the game. They couldn't do it.
And they did, and they played extra, too. They played overtime.
Not only did they finish a game in regulation, but they finished it in overtime and got the win. Like, they couldn't do it against the Washington football team.
Nope.
Right? It's just, they can't do it in general.
They could
not even.
They haven't.
They couldn't. They haven't. And this week, they actually went and did it. Props to them. Now, you can look forward to next week saying, hey, we got a little confidence, maybe.
Speaking of next week,
maybe.
They're going to need all the confidence in the world. They're going up against the Cowboys. Now, I think the biggest thing about the Jets and Giants both winning is that you got to continue the momentum. You know, you have to be able to continue to play a complete 60-minute football game. You have to, you know, run the plays that you were running, figure things out. Kenny Galladay needs to step up. I'll tell you what, I watched all of this Cowboys game yesterday. And this Cowboys team, this offense is scary. Like, mind-bogglingly scary, and that's who the Giants are facing at 425 down in Jerry's World next Sunday, October 10th.
Can I ask?
Yes.
In the next 6 weeks, do you see any wins for the Giants?
I think they can beat the Panthers.
So do I.
I don't know how legit the Panthers are yet, so I think they can beat
them. Also, as good as Darnold has been and has been,
and I think they can beat the Cowboys because they always play the Cowboys.
I think they may be able to beat the Raiders because we'll have to see how that defense holds up longer.
Not the Rams.
Not the Rams or the Bucks or the Chiefs. But I think the one thing about the Panthers especially is Darnold's been much better when he's on script early in the game. There's been a noticeable difference between first half Sam and second half Sam.
He's always been good on like the first couple drives.
That's what I'm saying is that, you know, if you can stay in that game and score a few points, you know, they'll be in that game. But yeah, they don't have a gimme. There's not going to be a single game for the next 6 weeks where they're going to be favored.
I see 4 wins for the Giants this year. This past week, I see them beating the Eagles on the 28th of November at home.
You don't think they're going to win again until November 28th?
I see them beating the Dolphins on December 5th. And then I see them beating the Bears on January 2nd.
They're going to go 4-13.
Yes.
I don't even know about that. Up to Chicago in January.
Yeah, they do have a tough schedule. But they just looked so good yesterday that, like, they've always played the Cowboys close. It's a divisional game. They've always done well in division. And now they have good momentum. I think they could win that game. Do I think they're going to? No. But would I be surprised if they did? Not really. I think they could beat the Panthers. Eagles, definitely. Chargers. Raiders, November 7th, right? The Raiders always, you know, they always do this to us, right? Wow, look at the Raiders. Look at Derek
Carr.
Look at John Gruden. Like,
no,
this is
on
the year. And then, like, mid-October, November, it's like, sorry.
They fell off.
Well, yeah. You wanted to see somebody else win? Nope, not Derek Carr, not this year.
I mean, you're not wrong, but you still have to give them
4 games.
No, I think you give them too much credit.
I don't know.
I do.
But, like,
that's also, I mean, that's an equal playing field division, I think, if I'm being honest. Like, the Dallas
looks like they can run
scary.
Away.
Dallas looks like by far the best team in the division. They have to play the AFC West, which is so tough this year. Unbelievably tough. Like, they have to go to LA as well.
Oh, yeah.
They have to play the Rams. They have to play the Bucks. They're just in a bad spot.
They'll finish out the year Cowboys, Eagles, Bears football team on January 9th. So weird seeing the football season end on January 9th. I don't know. I think they got a couple more wins in that if they play like they did last week. I think the biggest thing for them is going to be keeping momentum. And speaking of keeping momentum, that's exactly what the New York Jets are going to have to do next week against the Falcons in London. Oh my God, what a London game that is! Jets Falcons at 9:30 a.m.
Can't wait to set my alarm on a Sunday to watch the Jets and Falcons play a thriller in London.
Watch them play a 12-7 classic. Across the pond. It's going to be incredible.
12-7, huh? Yeah. Is that Scorigami?
No.
Okay.
12-7 has, in fact, happened before. With that being said, you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Like, I'm just at a point in my Jets fandom where I haven't seen good coaching or, like, fun plays run in about 2 years. And there were so many times. Like, the first time, like, when they started to get a little momentum, the first drive they scored a touchdown on, I'm like, that's a really good play call. Like, oh my gosh, like we haven't seen that from them in so long. And it was like Ty Johnson running like a post route to the outside, which like, you know, we haven't seen from the Jets in so long. So many times where it was like, here we go, LaFleur. It wasn't cheering on Zach Wilson. It was like, come on, LaFleur, keep it coming. Keep it coming. You know what you want to do here.
Yeah, listen, this team actually looked like, they wanted to play football this week. They looked like they got a little creative with the playbook this week. The one time I think they did a little too much was in overtime when they tried that like naked boot play to the near side.
Yeah, that was bad.
That was bad. But other than that, I really liked the play calling. They mixed in the backs well. And granted, listen, they didn't really run the ball all that well. But at the end of the day, Wilson let it rip. He had 297 yards, 2 touchdowns. The one pick was God, not even entirely his fault. Davis fell on the route.
It was a pretty bad throw.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good decision, but it was made much easier for the defense because Davis fell on the route.
I give a lot of credit to Zach Wilson, and as you should, but he needs to go out and buy his offensive line some dinner because
they protected him really well.
One sack all day, and they protected him really pocket. Well. They gave him a lot of time to do the things he did, and which is the reason why they won.
Yeah, they had a clean pocket plays. Today.
Zach Wilson, 21 for 34, 297 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. He just made a couple of throws that it was like, oh my God.
Like, this is the reason why you got him.
Listen.
It gave you hope.
You could say a lot of things about Zach Wilson. Dude's got a cannon, a bazooka for an arm. Like, I couldn't even believe some of the throws he's making. The throw to the Keelan Cole, the throw to Corey Davis on the touchdown. There were a couple other throws in there.
That corner route in overtime was very nice. Yeah, where he just dropped it right in the basket.
Just so perfect. And that's exactly what you've wanted to see out of this Jets team for so long. Now, can you call 297 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception a coming out party? Because I don't know if he can.
On the stat line, no, but if you watch that game, you can, because he looked in control of that game the whole way.
Internally, mentally, you can call that a coming-out party.
Big moral victory. Yeah, big moral victory.
Exactly.
But you know what? I think something that needs to be said, that the Jets' defense,
it's good.
They won that game. Like Davis had a great day. Wilson had a great day. They gave up 150 yards on 33 attempts to Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. But every time you needed a stop down the stretch, that defense got it.
It's... If the Jets could figure out the secondary, right, if they could get one corner or get Marcus May back healthy, this defense would be unfreaking real. Like, they're so talented. They're gritty. They have a good scheme because of Robert Saleh.
The Williams brothers were all over the place.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
And John Franklin Myers was insane.
Oh, well, John Franklin Myers has been insane all year. But Quincy Williams, what a waiver pickup he is. Holy crap. I mean, the dude is bulldozing people over like it's nobody's, like he's a contractor himself. Like, it's unbelievable what he did on Sunday.
Well, looking forward, you are right. You can definitely take confidence from this game. The Giants,
absolutely.
Maybe not as much because of their upcoming schedule.
Right.
But for the Jets.
Yeah, but if you're the Jets, you look at it and you say, well, we go to London this week to play a not so road game. Against the Falcons, that's a game you can win.
You can beat the Patriots.
You can.
It can happen.
It can happen.
If Wilson doesn't throw, you know,
you have the talent to be able to
beat them. If you don't turn the ball over, you can do it.
The Bengals may be still a question mark because we don't know exactly to the heights of their talent, but you can beat the Colts on November the 4th. Probably not going to beat the Bills.
You can beat the Dolphins. You can beat the Dolphins, beat the Texans. Beat the Eagles.
There are more wins. I see more wins here than I do for the Giants.
There, and I'll say this as well.
They're not making the playoffs.
No, they're not making the playoffs. But and even if they don't win the game, the Bills are by far the best team in the division. But the Jets have always, for whatever reason, when it was the Patriots, like
they've always played the division well.
Like even last year when they looked terrible. Both Bills games looked good.
I mean, it's not for whatever reason. It's the fact that they're division rivals.
Yeah,
no, or not exactly rivals, but they play them every year. Play them twice every year. So there's something that comes with that, and it's the fact that you know their offense better, you know their defense better, you know the game plan a little bit better, and now you have the ability to gain some confidence, gain some momentum, and maybe get a couple more wins out of it.
We'll see. Maybe. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's time for Picks of the Week. Then we got Hot Corner coming up at 4. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. I love you, baby, and if it's quite all right. And welcome back to Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Aaron Valentino, Brian Rudman, Michael Gross here with you up until 5 o'clock. No Lad today. He is out sick, but he will be back tomorrow. Tuesdays are being rebranded. I don't know if you heard this, Gross, but Tuesdays, I will no longer be on the show on Tuesdays. I'll be in Syracuse at CNY.
I did catch wind of that.
But Tuesdays are being rebranded. It's going to be called WNYO Sports Hour Lad and Friends. So each week, Lad will have a new guest or guest on the show every week to talk about sports and probably pop culture, amongst other things. So it's very exciting. Tuesdays are going to be a lot of fun.
We're not exactly sure what's going to happen.
No, we're not. Quick question.
Does Lad know how to run the board?
Yes.
Does he know how to write a rundown?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I've shown him how to write a rundown for over 100 episodes, but, you know, you'd think he... You know, 100
award-winning episodes.
Yeah, 100 yes. award-winning episodes. Well, not all of them are award-winning. Let's be completely honest with each other. But
we're all here just to be honest, folks.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Yeah, just here so
I don't get fined. That more in the last week and a half than I have in my life.
Actually?
Yeah. I say it all the time at TOP.
Fantastic.
So, yes, I will not be here tomorrow. Brandon will be here. I don't know who the guest is. I'm sure he'll be pulling someone off of the street 5 minutes before 5 minutes before the show starts.
50-50 shot at someone already in this room.
Yeah. Well, no. Well, I'm never going to be there on Tuesdays because I have class until 3:40.
I will be.
Yeah, Brian's available.
I am not available tomorrow.
Where are you tomorrow?
I'm going to Boston tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
That's right. What time are you leaving?
Like
morning.
Yeah. Sometime in the morning.
You got a long day tomorrow.
Oh, I got like 6 hours in the car tomorrow.
Who is driving after you get to Albany?
I'm meeting up with my dad, and my dad's
driving. How far is Albany from Boston?
So it's 245. Well, we're meeting like north of Albany, like where our hotel is. So it's actually in Massachusetts, but it's just north.
So it's probably 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it'll be about. So what's going to happen is I'm going to drive two hours 15 minutes down to Oneonta to pick up my brother, swing over to our hotel, which will be another like 2:15-ish, and then another 2 hours from there.
So
I'll be in the car for a good, like, I'll be driving for a good 4.5 hours, and I'll be in
sleep
the car.
After that.
I'll be in the car for another 2. But then my dad's going to get up to the hotel early and take a nap before he drives up.
After the game, though, you got to drive 2 hours back to the hotel?
Yeah.
That's brutal.
And then I got to get up in the morning because my brother needs to be back in Oneonta for class by noon.
Oh wow!
So
you don't have in person classes.
I don't have in person classes. No, so I'll be back. I'll be back to shoot some video on Wednesday.
On Wednesday, yes indeed.
Shooting video for what?
Oswego State Sports.
Is it a private thing that I can't be public?
No, but
I don't really know what it is, but
we just don't want to include you, so.
Well, that's well. Actually, Brian asked me if I needed anything else before we started the show today. I was like, no, I don't. I have a separate time set up with.
Maybe it's the fact that we just don't want to include Jake.
Yeah, maybe it's just Jake. Maybe it's just Jake.
Who's sitting in the corner?
Yeah, who's sitting in the corner? All right, it's time for picks of the week. I'm currently leading 15-14. I made a big comeback this week despite Lad and I getting a lot of picks wrong. Tonight we got Raiders Chargers, which I think could be a good game, but no Payne and Eli. No Payne and Eli till week 6 or 7.
That just makes me upset.
It makes me upset. Yeah, isn't it upsetting?
It's such a good program.
I know. It really
I wonder
really
if
is.
They need Eli to go through some training after flipping it's off almost the camera.
Like, it's almost like it was too good, and they're like, all right, we got to stop it before it gets completely out of hand.
All right, we need to get our ratings back up for the actual broadcast so we can sell some advertising.
Yeah, we're going to have to stop this. But I think this could be a good game. I'm really high on Justin Herbert. Lad and I said on the show, like, last week, I think Justin Herbert's a top 10 quarterback.
He was like the 7th or 8th quarterback off the board in our fantasy league. He's my quarterback.
I think Justin Herbert is that freaking good.
I think he's phenomenal.
He's got so much poise in the pocket. The way he holds himself, the way he carries himself on and off the field too, on the sideline, making sure his teammates are all there and ready. And not to mention, he's got one heck of a running back behind him in Austin Ekeler.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's about back that's Keenan really Allen good is number out one of the receiver. Backfield. Yeah, he has a lot of good options.
Yeah, no, he absolutely
he's
does.
Got the world.
He's got a decent defense too.
And the world is his oyster.
Yeah. So with that being said, we'll go around the room. We'll start with Michael Gross. Who are we taking tonight? Raiders or Chargers?
Sticking with it. Justin Herbert and the Chargers will get it done. Austin Ekeler just needs to get me 7 fantasy points, and I win this week against Mike Marino in my second league. I've already secured a win against Jake Vanderbrook, the 3-0 Jake Vanderbrook.
Yes, that's a big win for you.
You're doing me a favor.
Brian will be the only undefeated team left in that league.
In that league,
I took a loss to Bishop Sycamore this week.
That is true. You and I in the other league, though, in Joey's league.
Yes, I'm going to be 4-0 in Joey's league.
I need 7 points to be 4-0. No, I'm not 4-0 yet. I need 7 points to be 4-0.
I'm going to stick with the Chargers because I need the man, the myth, the legend, my QB1, Justin Herbert, to get me a good, I think it's like 12 or 14 points. I forget. I didn't check after the game last night because I had suck up. But, I need like a good 10 points out of Herbert, and I will beat former WMYO podcast director Matthew Watling.
Yeah.
Who stinks.
Not good at
Jake
fantasy
is
going to
get his first win.
Yes.
He's going to be 1-3.
Couple
three.
Class for Jake.
He's going to be 1-3. So very excited for him. I'm going with the Chargers as well. In fantasy, I am all wrapped up. I definitely lost to AJ, so I'll be 3-1 in the big league. I'll be 4-0 in Joey's league, which is exciting. I think I play you next week.
Dude,
In Joey's league? I forget who I play.
Might be me.
Next week.
I take it one week at a time, folks. I'm not looking ahead.
Yeah. Well, when you lose. I'm also Kenny Galladay, Jamison Crowder, Christian Kirk, Chenault. I don't know how to say Chenault's first name, so I'm not going to botch it. Are all up for grabs if anybody needs another receiver.
I'm actually really good at receiver.
Everybody needs running backs.
I just come to the realization that I now need another running back. I didn't before.
You want Le'Veon Bell?
No, I didn't before.
Mark Ingram?
I had him before I dropped him. I have Alvin Kamara, who was good, but he only had 12 points this week. You can thank the Giants defense for that. Thanks, Jake. And I have Miles Gaskin, who had 0.5. I have Damian Harris, who had 4.6. Latavius Murray, however, had 11.9, but he was on my bench. And Sony Michel had minus 1.4.
Oh my God, I think.
Had a rough week at running back.
Or maybe he had 1.4.
Yeah.
But still.
My receivers are carrying me right now.
Me too.
I have Hopkins, Kupp, Corey Davis, and Marquise Brown.
I have Terry McLaurin. I have DJ Moore, who both had 30-point weeks. I have Nelson Agholor, who still played well. Dawson Knox played well as a tight end. I'm all set. At wide receiver. I just picked up a wide receiver. I have Bryan Edwards too, who's on my bench tonight. So
yeah, I have Emmanuel Sanders on my bench. He's been pretty good.
Yeah, I have 3 really solid receivers on my bench. And I don't know what to do with them. So we'll see what happens.
Trade them away for running backs.
I have tried. Believe me. I've tried. Nobody wants to give up running backs.
Make me an offer.
That is going to do it for today's edition of Sports Hour. I will not be here tomorrow, but Brandon Ladd will be here with a new guest. I'll be back on Wednesday. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks to Brian Redman and Michael Gross for joining the show. Hot Corner coming up in 5.